You know, I never thought there would come in a time, there would come a time in my life where I would be so anxious just to see normal again. This pandemic, this period of time that we have been dealing with this, I can't speak for you, but it has upset and changed everything about the world as we know it. And sometimes it's difficult to cope with it. But we serve a God who loves us, who guides us, who protects us, and who wants to save us. So we don't have to be overwhelmed by the things we see going on around us. The things that has turned our world upside down, because we know, not we think, we know that God is in control. So this morning, we're going to spend a few moments in God's word. And the scripture that I use as a foundation for this message is found in Romans 8:28. It tells us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And for good measure, I'm just going to throw in another text from Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? I hung a tag or a title on this message. It is called Cultivating an Attitude of Gratitude. Cultivating an Attitude of Gratitude. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we're just so thankful for these moments, Lord, that we get to spend in your precious, precious, Lord, presence on this holy Sabbath day. Now we're asking that, pour out your spirit upon your people, wherever we may be, Lord. Although we're scattered, we are not in our worship center, but Lord, we're still gathered together in your name. So pour out your spirit, Lord, and send your blessing. Use me, guide me, and keep me, Lord. Hide me behind the shadow of the cross, and I'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For some, this verse is a tremendous source of hope. This verse should be and is a comfort for us. But yet there are some who feel like it is salt being poured on an open wound. Why? Because they find it difficult to understand, to accept, or see any good in tragedies. The question of how are we supposed to find good in death? How we are supposed to find good in sickness and illness? How are we supposed to find good in child abuse, in divorce, in unemployment, in homelessness, Lord, and on and on and on? How do we find good in these things? How do we, in our times of pain and suffering, in our times of loss, grief, distress, heartache, in times where the enemy works tirelessly to make us feel abandoned, rejected, and forsaken by God, how are we, Lord, to see the good in all of that? Well, Lord, we see it in your promises, because in your promises, we find hope. We find comfort. We find reassurance that you are always with us. You have promised that you would never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, we praise your holy name for that. That's why Paul could declare so boldly, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. But so Lord, when we find ourselves dealing with these things, dealing with stuff that's too difficult for us, difficult for us to understand, to handle, or explain, this text is one of those useful tools in our spiritual toolbox to help us get through these tough times. Many of us at one time or another, Lord, have been through some difficult and trying trials in our lives. Times when all we could do was rely on our faith, trust, and belief in you to get us through the day. And in the midst of our time of crisis, Lord, in the midst of our heartache and pain and suffering, in the midst of our trials and troubles, we can turn to Romans 8:28 to fill us with hope and give us that blessed peace that can only come from you. And perhaps, Lord, there's no other verse in the Bible that speaks more directly to our walk of faith or our seriousness about our trust in you. In a time of crisis, in a time of difficulty, in times of trial, Lord, the truth and beauty of this text is that it gives us a clear picture, Lord, of who you are, your great love for us, what that love did for us. Lord, you sent your son, Jesus, your only begotten son from glory, to die for us, Lord. So we know that all things work together for good to those of us who love you, to those of us who are called according to your purpose. Other than Jesus, it is difficult to find someone more qualified to speak to us about faith and trust in you than Paul. In the very beginning of the text, he gives us indisputable evidence of his great faith, Lord, in you, when he says, "And we know." Those three simple words, "and we know," Lord, speaks volumes to us. What Paul is saying here, we know from experience. We know from the things you have already done for us. We know how you have led us in the past. We know how you have blessed us in the past. We know how you have delivered us in the past. We know how you have healed us in the past. We know how you have protected us in the past. Lord, we know how you have provided for us in the past. Lord, we know. We know. Not we think, we know. Here is a declaration of the blessing that comes from faith in you. It reveals in great detail to us and the world how you respond to those who love you, to those who are called according to your purpose. And we know it is a declaration of an unconditional and unwavering resolve that is steadfast and unshakable, Lord. And it is through that knowledge, it is through that truth that we develop a strong, firm, and unwavering faith and trust in your word and in your promises. God, Paul was able to boldly declare, "We know," because of his faith in God. It was his faith in God that led him to know. It was his faith in God that allowed him and enabled him to believe and trust that God was working for him and not against him. So, beloved, the question before us this morning is this: how do we get there? How can we know without question or reservation that God is working to cause all things to work together for good in our life. In other words, how do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude for the things that God has done for us? We all have been through some stuff. We struggle. I mean, right now, mentally, our world is turned upside down because we are embracing and learning to deal with a new normal. Things as we knew them is not like that anymore. And we are put in a position that we can't take anything for granted. Nothing is guaranteed other than God's love for us. And we need to embrace that. How do we cultivate an attitude of gratitude in the midst of all our trials and troubles, in the midst of our heartaches and hardship, in the midst of losing those we love, in the midst of being separated from each other, being dominated and dictated to by this deadly disease that is out there called COVID-19. As we were getting used to COVID-19, along comes Omicron. Now they're talking about Omicron is about to evolve into another strain. We don't know what's ahead, but God does. We don't know what to do to protect ourselves or save ourselves. Yeah, we can wear masks. Yeah, we can get a vaccine, but that is not with our protection. That is not going to preserve or save us. What's going to preserve and save us is the goodness of God, the love of God, the protection of God to see us through this terrible and trying times. Oh, we need to pray much, Lord. But how do we do that? How exactly do we do that? Well, there's three steps I want to give you. And the first step is we must believe in the sovereignty of God. What do I mean by that? Well, the dictionary defines sovereign as superior, ruler, supreme power and authority, independent of all others. But the Bible dictionary defines God's sovereignty as his absolute right to do all things according to his own good pleasure. So simply put, it means that God is in control. It means that there's nothing that happens or could happen that is outside of God's influence and authority. God is above all things. God is before all things. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's why Paul could proclaim, and we know, not we think, not might or maybe. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Beloved, that's an amazing promise. It is a testimony of the sovereign of God. It gives us the assurance that an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, all-loving God cares about you and me. Oh, when we believe and acknowledge the sovereignty of God, when we live our lives according to that truth, we are letting the world know, the whole world around us, those on our jobs, those in our families, our friends, strangers on the street, Lord, we are letting them know that God is in control of all things. Not some things, all things. The Psalms tell us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in. For by him all things was created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Yeah, I'm not telling you this morning to make light of the pandemic. I'm not telling you to just ignore the things that's going on around us. But what I am telling you is we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to be scared of this deadly disease that's out there. Yeah, we have to be wise. Yes, it's a good idea to take the vaccine. Yes, it's a good idea to follow the protocols that the medical community has set forth for us. God said he wants us to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So it's wise to follow those protocols. It's wise to take precautions so we don't bring these dangers and sicknesses upon those around us, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we assemble together to worship the Lord, as we gather together in our family setting. So we want to follow these protocols. But see, we can't live our lives in fear. See, we have to understand that God is in control. Paul, through his faith, drew strength and courage to face whatever came his way. And God will give us the faith to face this pandemic we are living in. He will give us the faith to carry on in the midst of this pandemic, even though it's deadly, even though it has taken many lives. But here's the thing. If God is for us, who, beloved, can be against us? Ephesians 6:10 tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't need to be afraid. Yes, we need to be wise. Yes, we need to be cautious. Yes, we need to follow the mandates and guidelines that has been put in place to keep us safe, to keep us alive. But you know what? All that's good, but you got to understand that came from God too. And it wasn't somebody just sitting down dreaming this thing up and got lucky and came up with something that kind of works. No. All good things come from God. God is in control. When we know, when we believe, when we embrace that divine assurance, it fills us with that blessed hope, that peace that is beyond the limits of human understanding. Even in those times in our lives when things just seem to be spiraling out of control, when everything seems hopeless, when we feel helpless, we can have that blessed peace that only comes from God. That is one of the perks of being a child of the living God. Even in those times, we have to understand it's not the vaccine. Yes, take it. It's not the mask we wear. Yes, wear them. It's not the separation and isolation that's keeping us healthy. But yes, we should do it. It is the grace of God that is sparing us, that is delivering us as we go through these troubling, trying times. We must always be mindful of who God is at all times, of his authority, of his power, of his wisdom, of his great love for us. When we know, when we believe, when we understand beyond any doubt that God is in control, the enemy cannot defeat us or deceive us, beloved. No way. Second thing we need to do we must believe in the goodness of God. How many times have you heard or repeated the phrase, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. The goodness of God is not only one of his great attributes. It is a description of his very essence. By nature, God is intrinsically good. He did not obtain it from another source like we have to. That's why Paul says, and we know, that all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now notice the text doesn't tell us that God causes all things to work together for that all things can work together for good. It doesn't infer that everything that happened to us will be good. No. What the text is telling us, that God is in control and he will cause all things to work together for good. Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. He hadn't brought us this far, beloved, to leave us now. Yeah, there's some difficult things going on out there in this world, some dangerous stuff that's going on out there in this world. But we don't need to run scared, because if God is for us, who in this world can be against us? See, what we don't want to do, we don't want to entertain the lies of the enemy. Because the enemy want us to be fearful and afraid, doubting God's blessings upon us. The dangers out there, the trials and the tribulation don't only affect those who don't know the Lord. Yes, bad things happen to God's people too. But we got to trust that God knows what he is doing. We got to trust and know beyond a doubt that God is in control and he knows what he is doing. God hasn't forsaken us. He is fair and just. He loves us with an everlasting love. And it is that blessed truth, beloved, that enables us to be content regardless of our situations or circumstances. In every situation, in every circumstance, we must interpret it through the truth of God's character, the truth of who God is. Because we know, we have believed that we could trust God, that we could depend on God. And the grief, the misery, and the pain and suffering that is in the world today, that is in our lives, we don't need to let the enemy discourage us and try to make us believe that God has abandoned us or forsaken us. No. Christians suffer in this world as well. That's the effects of sin. But you see, the devil wants us to be discouraged. He wants to deceive us. He wants to get us to get angry with God, to give up on God as we see the things that's going on around us. And you know, in our struggles, and we all are struggling with something. Each and every day we struggle to overcome a specific sin. How do we get there? We have to trust God. Every day we either ourselves or someone we know are being afflicted with sickness or illness. But yet we have to trust God. Every day somebody is losing their jobs out there. They need that livelihood to support their families. But all of a sudden the job is gone. But still, we got to trust God. There are troubled marriages, not only out in the world, but in the church. But what do? We have to trust God. People struggle to cope, struggle to get by, struggle to maintain, to overcome, but we'll never be able to do it in and of ourselves. We need the Lord. And once we do that, once we go to the Lord and allow him to fill our hearts and minds with his blessed truth, and allow him to enable us to live our lives according to those truths, trusting God in all things, regardless of how grim or great things may appear to be, will, not might, maybe, will get us through these turbulent and troubled times. Oh, beloved, if we could only say, like Paul, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, it is then I am strong. God's love and goodness is the core, the very foundation of our faith, beloved. It is because of God's desire for our good that he provided salvation through Christ Jesus, his beloved son, in the first place. Yes, God is good all the time. But we also need to remember that everything God does is for our good. He provides these life-sustaining provisions to us. He blesses us every day and gives us proof of his goodness. The food that we eat, beloved, the water that we drink, the air that we breathe would be filled with disease and pestilence if it wasn't for the goodness and grace of God. All these things come to us because of God's goodness. And we have so much to be thankful for. God has not forsaken us or abandoned us. Oh yeah, we're living in some tough times. Yes, that pandemic out there is nothing to play with. Yes, there's a danger every time we step out of our homes. And now it's even coming into the homes, whether you go out or not. But yeah, one thing we can be sure of, God will continue to bless us and pour out his goodness upon us. And the third and final thing, we must believe, beloved, in the faithfulness of God. You see, the entire premise of Romans 8:28 here rests upon the faithfulness of God to do what he says he would do. Now, God has promised he will never leave us or forsake us. And we have to accept and believe that by faith, that God has the power and the good pleasure to do just that. If God were not good, faithful, and true, this verse would be meaningless. It would be nothing more than an empty promise, nothing more than good intentions with no follow-through, promises with no fulfillment. But praise the Lord, our God is faithful. His word is true. Lamentation tells us it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Yeah, I mean, I took the vaccination, but it's not the vaccination that we need to be looking to and giving the credit. And we need to be looking to the God who gave and put into the minds of those doctors and those specialists to produce this vaccine. It all comes from God. God is going to protect his people. And Timothy tells us, for this reason, I also suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We got to be like Paul. We got to be like Timothy. We got to be like Jesus. They believed God. They trusted God. That's why he was able to declare, even under the pain of death, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Are you keeping your faith in these troubling and trying times? You know, right along through here, a lot of people are giving up on God, giving up on their faith. Their families have been touched by these tragedies, by these hardships, by these difficulties just to make it from day to day. And some people allow these things to get them angry, to become angry with God, make them angry with God. And they give up on him. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So, beloved, what is he saying? We got to keep the faith. We got to keep on fighting the good fight. We have to finish the course. Where we are in the whole grand scheme of this thing, I can't tell you. But I know his words say that Jesus is soon to come. So I know even COVID-19, even Omicron, and whatever else may come upon us, that too shall pass. Why? Because God is in control. See, faith involves so much more than passive belief. For us to have that saving faith, our faith has to be entered into Christ Jesus. A faith that enables us to trust God. A faith that enables us to obey God. A faith that enables us to believe God. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see everything that's going on around us. There are some things behind the curtain we're not even aware of. But the God we serve knows. The God we serve can deliver us. He can protect us. But like the Hebrew boys said, but if not, yet will I serve him. Yet will I serve me. You know, Hebrews tell us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, there's a lot of things out there going on. But we know by faith, God is protecting us. We know by faith, God is delivering us. We know by faith, he's guiding and leading us. And he's getting us through these terrible times, through this terrible pandemic. Yes, there have been losses. Yes, there have been casualties. But God has never left us, nor will he ever forsake us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is our faith in God that will enable us to declare with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It is our faith in God that will enable us to declare with Jesus, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It is our faith in God that will keep us from growing weary of well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. It's our faith in God that will enable us to know, to understand, to comprehend the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Long as we stay the course, beloved, The devil wants us to become discouraged. He wants us to get angry with God. He wants us to give up on God. Yeah, these are some tough and trying times. Yes, it's difficult to lose a loved one. Yes, it's difficult to come home and face a family when you lost your job and can't find another one. It's difficult when you can't put food on the table. It's difficult when you get sick and can't do the things you normally do. But in the midst of all this, we got to claim and cling to the promises that God has given us. That's the only way, beloved, that we're going to be able to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. And we have much to be grateful for. We have much to be thankful for. And as the word said, and I'll leave you with this, if God be for us, who can be against us? God loves us. God wants to save us. And from his word, he has given us promises that he will get us through even this. The scripture said, this too shall pass. Our Father and our God, we're just so thankful for your blessings, for your love, for your mercy, your grace, your patience, and your long suffering. We thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you are doing for us, and all that you will continue to do for us. I ask you now, Lord, to build a hedge of protection around your people, around this world. Protect us, Lord, guide us, keep us, for the enemy is busy. He's trying to discourage us, Lord. He's trying to get us to give up on you. He's trying to take us out if he can, any way he can. But Lord, your word tells us, greater are you than he that is in this world. So Lord, with hearts of gratitude and thankfulness, in the worthy name of Jesus, Lord, we continue to trust you, to rely upon you, to walk with you. And we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins and draw us closer to you, Lord. Help us to recognize that we are your people. And you are working tirelessly to save us, that we may spend all eternity with you. In the worthy name of Jesus, we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, day by day, we're creeping back to some sense of normalcy. Like I told you earlier, I spoke with Sister Wegar, and Pastor Wegar is trying to make it home. Should be home, hopefully, if everything continues to go well this weekend. So I'm going to ask you to keep him in much prayer, he and his family. And let's keep each other in prayer, because these are some difficult times. They're taking a toll on many of us, mentally, spiritually, and physically. So we need the power of the Lord to come into our lives. So let's, every time it crosses your mind, you think of it, let's pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, that God will see us through these turbulent times.